There's nothing scarier than trying to find a doctor. Take it from me. Being a final girl means that once the chase is over, I need fast, reliable, in-network medical care. And that's why I use ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. And the appointments happen fast, usually just 24 to 72 hours after booking. But you can even score same-day appointments, which is a literal lifesaver in my line of work. So what are you waiting for? Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/13 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today.
That's ZocDoc.com/13. ZocDoc.com/THIRTEEN.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hey there. And Merry Christmas Eve. Thank you for joining us for this special Christmas episode of 13. We're here to wish you a happy holiday and to add a little holiday horror to the Yuletide cheer. Today's story is The Naughty List by Tasia Morgan, narrated by Mason Amadeus. Music composed by Caleb Ritchie and featured on the album XXXmas, a 13 album. Streaming now wherever you listen to music. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights, and now, on with the show.
On the living room carpet, doused in the twinkle of red and green tree lights, 5-year-old Cindy screams her little blonde head off.
Timothy, do not hit your sister!
Jack yells. Her brother looms over her in his Nightmare Before Christmas jammies, sneering like some deranged movie villain. Probably shouldn't have let him watch Die Hard yesterday. Jack crushes his blunt against the pane of the partly open window, blowing a cloud of smoke out and tossing the butt through the crack where he knows his wife won't notice it till the spring thaw. The chilly winter air inhales the fumes as hungrily as Jack had. Frost crawls across the glass. Cindy's shrill wail hits a new octave. Jack cringes as he turns to Tim. The boy narrows his gaze. A roll of gold wrapping paper still clutched in his 7-year-old grip. He raises the roll once more, not breaking eye contact with his father, and goes for the swing.
I swear to Christ, you little shit, if you hit her one more goddamn time, I'll...
You'll what?
Tim squares his shoulders, chin jutting out. Jack's jaw drops. The sheer, unbridled audacity of this kid. Tim gets it from his mom's side. There is no way he was such a shitheel when he was that age. No way. Jack steps forward and rips the roll from the boy's hand. He glowers down at his son.
I'll tell Santa you're being a little brat. You want that? You want to be on the naughty list on Christmas Eve? Huh? I'll call him right now.
Tim crosses his arms.
You're the naughty one. You should be on the naughty list.
Jack's eyes widen.
Excuse me? If you tattle on me to Santa, I'll tell Mom that you're smoking cigarettes again.
Gobsmacked, Jack finds that he can't quite formulate a response to this little blackmail attempt. If his wife finds out he's been smoking again, she'll kill him. Though at least the kid thinks they're just cigarettes.
Bet. Now.
Jack demands. Tim stomps off with some grumpy posturing. but they both know that the boy won this round. Jack spends the next 15 minutes calming Cindy down and tucking her in. Neither kid brushes their teeth before bed, but fuck it, what is he, Mary Poppins? These little miscreants need a warden, not a parent. With the children securely in their cells, Jack drops hard into the worn green armchair next to the Christmas tree. Quiet. Finally. The sharp, clean scent of the balsam fir beside him overpowers any lingering smoke, so he's sure his wife won't notice it when she returns. He leans his head back to soak in the peace. A pleasant buzz leaving his arms and legs heavy. The guy he'd bought the blunt from promised him the most ultra-chill, mellow high around. And oh yeah, he's feeling it now. Nice. From somewhere in the kitchen, Jack hears the faint sounds of Christmas carols. The radio. That's right. He considers turning it off, lighting up the fireplace to warm the room. But he's wiped, and Rudolph's little ditty is weirdly lulling. Jack's stomach rumbles. An inferno that must be satiated as the munchies kick in. His hand slaps around on the side table, encounters a cookie designated for Santa, and in short order, his chest and beard are dotted with crumbs as he snores through a gingerbread coma. A rumble shakes the chair beneath him. At first, he's still straddling the dream world, as well as the hot mall elf with pigtails they'd encountered earlier in the day. But soon a thought enters his mind. Is this an earthquake? He jolts awake, heart pounding, glancing around the empty room lit only by Christmas lights. A soft tremble shakes his chair, and the glass baubles on the tree vibrate. They've never had an earthquake here. His gaze falls on the fireplace. Ash stirs and dances in the hearth as Jack grips the chair's armrests. Something plonks down from the flue, landing on the cold logs below, and the trembling ceases. Had the earthquake jarred loose a bird's nest? Or worse, some dead animals stuck up there? Shit. Jack stands, wobbly, and inches over to the fireplace to see what came out, cringing at the prospect of some skeletal remains landing below his family's stockings. It wouldn't be the first time something horrifying fell out of this damn fireplace, but better now than on Christmas morning. Nestled between the logs is a red and white stick of some sort. Wait, a candy cane? Before Jack can question this, another falls on top of the first, and another, and another. A flood of candy canes spills from the flue, piling onto the logs and pouring into the living room. Jack scrambles back. What is this? Some weird joke? Surely he can't be that high. But the candy canes don't stop coming. As the pile grows, something within it shifts, pushing up from underneath, even as candy canes continue to rain from above. Breath caught in his throat, Jack steps back and back, knocking into the armchair. His brain can't reconcile what he's seeing. The candy canes stop, but now there are hundreds of them, thousands, in a pile as big as the armchair, bigger than Jack. The pile lifts and quivers, shifting, rising into the shape of a person.
Holy fuck. Holy fuck.
Jack hisses, tripping over a stool and scrambling to hide behind the chair. The switch for the fireplace turns, twisted by an invisible hand, and the smell of gas is followed by a spark as the logs light up. His heart is pounding so hard he's dizzy. The candy canes melt, red and white stripes blending and swirling. The sugary sweet scent becomes overwhelming, and as suddenly as it started, the shape transforms into that of a massive man in a red and white suit. Mouth agape, Jack glances furtively at the windowsill, an ultra chill, mellow high. Like hell, he's high as balls if he's seeing fucking Santa Claus in his living room on Christmas Eve. He isn't so confident in this assessment that he'll stop cowering behind the armchair. But he's never had a high like this. There's no way it was just marijuana. This is too real. A pair of huge black boots stomp over to the tree. The guy has to be 8 feet tall, as tall as the tree, easily. Drug-induced Santa has his back to Jack, examining the empty plate of cookies next to the chair. The man grumbles low in his belly, so low it could have been a growl. A giant hand lifts to the red hat on his head and pulls it off, wiping it across his considerable brow. Jack stares, transfixed, at the back of Santa's head. Something is moving under the thick white hair there, but Jack can't make it out. Santa's hand sweeps out, sending the empty plate clattering to the carpet. Jack gasps, immediately covering his mouth. Sweat beads on Jack's brow as Santa stills. He turns toward the kitchen, away from Jack, and a sigh slips from Jack's lips. But as he watches Santa's back, the shifting hair parts. A pair of red, glowing eyes peer through the white tresses on the back of the man's head, staring right at Jack. Jack screams, knocking against the wall in his rush to escape, tripping over toys that the kids have left scattered on the floor. He falls hard to his knees, Legos digging like shards of glass into his shins as he crawls toward the front door. Somehow this monster hasn't awakened the kids, but the little brats might just slow it down enough for him to get out. He closes in on the door, panting, sweating, carpet rough against his clammy palms, but Santa's boots suddenly block his path. Jack freezes. Still facing away from him, the big man walks backwards, closes in, shoulders shifting and cracking as his arms twist behind him and his knees fold the wrong way with every step. Those glowing red eyes lock on Jack, white hair dangling in thick chunks over his piercing gaze, and below, a set of sharp yellow teeth. Jack shivers, trapped in place on the floor as Santa looms over him, spine bending unnaturally backward. The creature laughs, a deep ho-ho-ho rumble, as Jack's bladder fails him right there in the foyer. All he can do is stare. With eyes in the back of its head, Santa sees all, knows all, and Jack imagines his sins spread out on the floor with the kids' toys, as obvious and undeniable as the puddle of urine soaking his jeans. Its vile mouth cracks open wide, wide, wider, and on a gust of sweet gingerbread breath, it whispers,
"Such a naughty boy, Jack."
A long tongue rolls out of its mouth, thick and spongy. The cheerful jingle of distant Christmas carols mixes with the creature's ravenous slurps. Its jaw dislocates with a pop, and before Jack can blink, its teeth clamp over Jack's head in one quick snap, piercing the soft flesh of his neck and muffling his wailing cries.
Thank you for joining us for this special episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been The Naughty List, written by Tasia Morgan. Narrated by Mason Amadeus. Music was composed by Caleb Ritchie. And the tracks were selected from Caleb's Christmas album, XXXmas, a 13 album. You'll find a link to the album's Bandcamp in the show notes, and you can stream it now wherever you listen to music. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Bridget Freeman is making her list and checking it twice. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays, and we'll see you soon.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.